Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, and we're kicking off the third hour here. Join us. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about... apparently, businesses these days have a tendency to hire older rather than younger, even for jobs that typically are being targeted towards younger people. Like, they give an example here, the Wall Street Journal article about this, of a gentleman who runs a shipping center, like package shipping. You know, maybe it's like a private mailbox store like we have. There's one of those here in town. And he normally hires high school and college students during his first two decades in business, but now his top candidate is a man in his 70s. Like, that's literally a man near death. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I can see people in their 60s working, but, you know, by the time you hit 70, I don't know. Like, I mean...
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I just want to be clear.
Oh, like, no, of course not. There's nothing wrong with working, but...
You got a guy in the 70s, there's a good chance he's not going to show up because he passed away, the previous night.
Yeah, like it's...
just the reality of it, okay?
It's just one of these things where it's like... I don't know, it's almost like... You know what I'm thinking of? Elder abuse. That's what I'm thinking of.
Well, it's voluntary, obviously.
It's voluntary.
Guy wants to go back to work, and I think that's fine. I think it's great if he can handle the work, right?
Yeah.
If he can handle the lifting and all that stuff. The thing is, the owner of the business says, yeah, he's hired young people in recent years, but they disappoint. They don't show up on time. They sit there and scroll on their phones instead of chatting with customers. Now, you'd think you could solve that by taking away their damn phones from them or whatever, right? Because, like, look, it's just part of the deal. You work here, you surrender your phone at the beginning of the day or don't bring it in.
I don't, like, just that, like, yeah, I don't know. It just that
to
just
treat someone like that?
Treating someone like that, it just
like
doesn't, that just seems like it's, it. No, that's not the solution to the problem. You fire people. If they're playing on their phone, you don't keep them and just take away their phone. I mean,
but that's the thing. You can't find anyone to work. Okay.
I don't know. I have to say, I haven't fired lot of people.
Like trying to hire.
I do. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think most of my troubles hiring is I need to actually go out and like put some effort into it.
Mm.
And I don't, most of my issues with hiring have not really been an inability to find somebody. Mm. It's more like, okay. Finding a good quality candidate is hard, right? But at the same time, it's not that difficult to find somebody who, you know, wants the job. It's more like it's a challenge to find. It's a challenge to find people who want the job and will stick to the job and mm-hmm. do the job and, you know, and continue with the job, right? Because
sure.
There's a lot of...
somebody who's smart enough might just move along, right?
Yeah.
Find something else or start
yeah.
their own business.
And especially when it comes to more entry-level work. And normally, I think you would find somebody who is younger, right?
Sure.
The problem is that... young people don't want, or I don't even know if I can say that young people don't want to work.
That's what they're saying here.
I think that may not be a fully accurate picture of the situation. Look, I know young people who are wanting to work and working, but they're not people, I think, who have been babied to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
They're more, they tend to be more libertarians in New Hampshire.
Sure.
And,
yeah, well, if you're raised
you know
to homeschool or something,
right,
and
right.
you've got some responsibility,
so,
and you've been around adults, then maybe
right,
you're
right.
going to be a different personality. Hold that thought. Yeah. Let's continue here to someone who has absolutely no understanding of what we're talking about. Sarah is on the line in New Mexico. You're known for not working, Sarah, and you haven't worked for decades. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, what's on my mind is that I got to write a newspaper article and got to submit it on the email or the computer, their website, and I got to do it because and they still take snail mail letters, letter to the journal, editorial.
So you're calling, but, just to clarify, you're calling to pat yourself on the back because you sent an email to a newspaper today?
Well, not myself. It's Raymond Richard, he sent it.
Oh, so you didn't even do the work of actually sending the email. Did you? But so you wrote the letter to the editor?
Well, we both worked it together about we worked.
Really?
Worked,
what was the issue? What was the issue that spurred you to write to the newspaper? Was it traffic related by chance?
Mostly that lawsuit that the parents of the school bus. They forgot to sue the city.
Was this the school bus that got hit by the guy?
Yeah, they're going to sue the drag racer, but he's got an insurance company, I hope. You can't go after their insurance company. And also, they forgot to sue the city property. So it's their fault. It happened on their street. You know, they should have had better...
You can't sue the city over a drag racer.
You
the city's
can?
Not. No, the city's going to be qualified immunity on that one. They're not going to have any sovereign immunity or whatever. Sarah, so how many times have you written letters to the editor before?
Well, they published about three of my letters, and they published about three or four of Richard's letter. But what's amazing?
And how many letters have you written? So if you've had three of them published, how many did you have to write to get three published?
I think I wrote about all of the three letters I wrote. They published it. And
okay.
The other newspaper too.
That's pretty good. Wait, there's two newspapers in Albuquerque?
Well, there used to be like a Progressive, but there was an alternative, like left wing newspaper, and then it turned into the other newspaper. So. They used to take letters and they published like three.
Hold on,
of my
just to
letters.
Clarify, this other paper, the Progressive one, is that like a weekly paper or is it an everyday?
I think it was weekly, like an alibi, and then that got terminated, and then.
Oh, so it's gone.
Yeah, it's completely gone, and then it went to another newspaper.
So you guys only have one daily newspaper these days in Albuquerque?
Yeah, it's the Albuquerque Journal.
Do they even do it daily, or do they cut back? Because I know the one here in Keene does only a weekend edition now. They used to have a Saturday and a Sunday, and now it's just the weekend edition.
Well, I don't really know, but I think
you don't subscribe?
No, he got it out of the garbage can, the Sunday newspaper.
Wow.
Yeah, well, he's a cat collector. He wants to hustle and make some side money, you know?
Really? So that's Raymond's thing? He goes into garbage, goes dumpster diving?
Oh, yeah. That's his little hobby. He's like, really, like, gung-ho about it.
Where does he sell the products that he gets from the dumpsters?
Sometimes if it's not too rotten, he'll eat the food.
Oh,
if
God.
It's not too... And then if it's the clothes not too bad, he'll wear it. If he finds shoes, he'll put it on.
Okay. So he's doing this more for him. He's not selling them on eBay or like getting. He's hold on, just to clarify, I use the term dumpster diving. You're saying he's actually going into trash cans.
Well, he just collects cans. His major thing is to make money off the recyclable aluminum cans.
Okay. That's a tough gig. From what I understand. Like, how much money does he make at that?
I don't know. Sometimes he makes $3 or $6, but he gets all excited about it. It's very quite bizarre, you know?
Now, how many hours does he have to go out and collect cans to get $3 to $6?
I think he has to collect maybe about 4 to 6 hours or 8 hours or...
For $3 to $6 of cans? Wow.
Now, is he getting a retirement? Because he's old. Like, he's in his 70s, right?
No, he gets a retirement check, but this is his side hustle. Mm-hmm. And he really believes in it. It's really hilarious. I wish that he could go out panhandling and do better. But,
you would
but
definitely
you know,
do better panhandling.
Yeah. Is he a left, like a socialist or
no,
communist?
No, he's kind of righty. He's kind of righty from his calls that I feel like. He's letting agree with you on a lot of stuff, right, Sarah?
Well, he's actually a registered Republican,
right.
And he attacks Lujan Grisham. Mm. And but you know what's funny is that he claims that he's a Republican, but he has always lived in Democratic cities. He's living in a very, very Democratic. Yeah, I mean, it's a hypocrisy. So he lived in El Paso, and they have a Democratic mayor. Before that, it was Austin, Texas, and that's a very Democratic city of Texas.
So just to be clear, this guy who has called the show before, it's been a little while since we've heard from him,
yeah.
But usually he's in the background when Sarah's talking to us. Mm-hmm. He has his own townhouse that he purchased from presumably his savings in retirement, but he's literally going around going through garbage cans and eating food out of people's garbage.
I
just want to make sure I've understood this
yeah.
correctly. Is that's actually
right.
what he does?
Well, I mean, this is what you call a Scrooge. You know, they paint.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, Sarah, I thought, and I guess I was a little bit being a little bit too nice to say it. I thought this guy that you're dating him or is he or your friend? I thought he was homeless.
She's
I thought what you were.
No.
Yeah, I thought what was going on was you were dating a homeless guy or something along those lines.
Not you guys aren't dating, right, Sarah? You're just kind of his friend with benefits?
Well, we just live in the same house. I'm more like his roommate and a companion.
Yeah.
But didn't you say you
clean the house naked for him?
Well, I'm just, sometimes he gets us part of the
problem. Let's just say Sarah's paying the rent in some creative ways.
I did not realize this was... I thought you you had a subsidized housing, Sarah.
No, she did at one time.
You did. Okay, but now you have somebody else that's subsidizing.
Sarah, thank you for the call tonight. It's been unusually entertaining. I do appreciate you telling the story there about your roommate. I appreciate hearing from you. The number tonight is 603-283-6160. Chuck is in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, what an amazing call that was. It got me thinking about a bunch of things about collecting aluminum cans for recycling. For example, how much is it per pound in New Mexico for what's the going market buyback, I guess they call it in some cities? Is it like 30 cents a pound for aluminum cans?
I don't know, and I doubt Sarah would know the answer to that question, but it doesn't sound like it's a whole lot because she said the dude works for like 4 to 6 hours and makes $3 to $6.
Well, and this has got me to another thing. I think whoever she's with is kind of a loser, and he probably should up his aluminum can game by networking with people that take in a lot of aluminum cans to get their aluminum cans, kind of like organize his own collection.
Well, for Sarah, this guy is a step up in life. I mean, Sarah was she was a homeless girl previously, so like she's.
Well, he could easily take that $6 and turn it into like $36. Hell, I'd even say $50, depending on how well he marketed. You know, how many churches in that New Mexico area enjoy Pepsis or have a Pepsi machine? How many mm-hmm. workplaces? You really got to
You're saying he could be working
that.
This thing and really doubling up his revenue.
Yeah, I think.
I have a feeling that maybe Sarah's numbers are just way off.
I don't know. I mean, the dude's digging through garbage for
garbage. It's true. So maybe there's some sort of mental illness in there or something.
I would probably, but then I would find this information out, and then I would write a letter to the editor about it up in New Hampshire or Spokane, Washington, or wherever, anywhere that would take a letter to the editor about this. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank
now you've got
you
some
much.
Inspiration,
right,
Chuck. Thanks for the call tonight. Let's continue here. We got Tim in Florida. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Tim.
We could take some aluminum and mint it to make some hobo currency.
Okay. What do you got tonight? Go ahead.
Actually, I had a question. It was a crypto 6 question. I remember listening, I guess your trial, someone sat in and recorded the transcript, and I was curious where I could find that.
That would be freaking.com. Oh, actually, no.
Someone is Chris, the guy sitting in the studio.
Yeah, I'm actually the guy who did that. Cool. Don't go to freaking.com. Go to thecrypto6.com.
Is it linked there?
Yeah, it's linked. The actual, okay. Each individual page is posted to freaking.com, but you're not going to be able to find it easily if you go to freaking.com because there's been so many other articles that have been posted there since.
This is not a official transcript. This is Chris's notes that he furtively scribbled in the courtroom. At some point, we will hopefully have the actual transcript. I don't know when that's going to be. Probably sometime in the next year or so as this appeal proceeds. But for now, Chris is the most accurate of anything that's out there. And there's no one else who took notes as scrupulously and.
I did my best. They're not perfect, detailed. But
you were there every day.
They're pretty darn good, if you ask me.
Yeah. Beyond Bonnie, there weren't many other people that were there every day.
Yeah.
It was a long three weeks.
I mean, these were notes is probably like an understatement. There's like conversations between like lawyers, and they're a little bit summarized, mm-hmm. but there's like lines, like sentences between mm-hmm. like witnesses, what witnesses said and lawyers said and prosecutors. So you can get a pretty good idea of what happened each day.
That's
you know,
right.
Like I don't know, not, I don't know, minute by minute, almost minute by minute. There's not. Some stuff you couldn't really like there's certain things that like they put up on screen and I'd write down what was on screen, but it's like you can only do so much as far as you know when they're a good example of this is when they were going over like driver's licenses that were scanned in for KYC that the church was doing. I mean, it was, I mean, that was like what, hours on end
of boring,
you know, I don't even know, like argue, was that, I guess he was making some sort of argument or something, but it was just him going, the prosecutor going
it's
through.
It's just introducing evidence, that's all that is.
Yeah, it was introducing evidence, but it's like you can't write down every single name for every ID. I mean, you could, but what would be the value of that?
Yeah, so, who wants to read that?
We didn't quite get that far in the note.
I don't even think that's in the transcript, right? Like, that's just evidence. So, like,
I don't
when the official
know.
Transcript comes out, that's not going to have that either.
The yeah,
lady that's
I
typing
know.
Up there, she's not typing down all the info that's on the screen. She's just typing what people say.
Yeah, there's examples of it in there in the notes, but it's not that detailed.
Yeah. Tim, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks. I found everything.
Okay, great. And the website again is thecrypto6.com. Anything else you want to share tonight, Tim?
No, that's it.
Thanks for
the
call,
much.
Man. I appreciate it. Let's go to Neil. He's in Arizona. Neil, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, guys, I want to send out a shout-out to my friend Chuck up there in Longview, Washington. And, of course, you guys know I'm down here in Golden Shores, Arizona. You were talking about Sarah's numbers being way off. I don't know if her numbers are way off, but I do know she is.
Okay. Regarding what?
Yeah. Everything she usually calls in about.
But she does live with this guy. I mean, do you think that she's wrong about him pulling in $3 to $6 off of a aluminum can haul?
$3 to $6?
Yeah.
Why would you even bother going? I didn't actually catch it because I just walked in. But why would you even bother going to the center to cash him in if you only got $3 to $6 worth of cans?
Well, because the guy's basically a, you know, a skinflint. I mean,
I collect cans and crush them. Usually by the time I haul those things in, I walk away with at least $400 or more.
Okay. All right. What are you getting, like a whole truckload? Like what turns into 400? How many cans do you have to get $400 in Arizona?
Well, I mean, if you crush them and put them in plastic bags, and mm-hmm. it doesn't really even take a full 8-foot bed load, mm-hmm. I mean, to get that kind of money. I mean, if you were to get them into California, of course, you get a lot more for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're...
Well, $400 bucks for a truckload of stuff sounds like it's worth doing at that point.
Before I moved out here to Golden Shores, I lived in Bellflower, California, and used to come out here camping and be out here for a week to 2 weeks at a time and spend most of my time pulling up on beaches and stuff on my boat and collecting cans. And I've been known to come back from a week and a half vacation out here and take them to the Reclamation Center in California and walk away with over $800.
All right. Not bad.
Yeah, I think the issue is the number of hours that Sarah was suggesting that he was doing the can collection for the $3 or $4. Because didn't she say it was like 6 hours of work for $3 or $4?
Yeah, that's what
I mean,
sounded like.
That's just insane. But it sounds like she must have been like way off on her numbers.
Who knows? If we get Raymond to call in, we'll ask him for all the details at some point. But Neil, were you just calling to share your experiences, or was there anything else you wanted to throw out there?
Well, I'm probably off topic about what you have been talking about, but I had one more thing to bring up that you haven't talked about at all.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What do you guys think of a radio station that advertises an event like an air show at a international airport right up to the day before it's supposed to happen? The event happens on April 1st. At the Laughlin Bullhead City International Airport, and as of today, that was 6 days ago, and they're still running the promos that air show is going to happen. Is that mismanagement or what?
Unfortunately, that is just somebody's dropping the ball at the radio station. You know, the sad part is, it's not K-Talks, is it?
Oh, of course it is. It's the only radio station I listen to.
Well, the sad part is radio these days, and that's our affiliate, by the way, and it's a great station, but radio is run by a skeleton crew these days. It's not like it used to be where there was, you know, some guy in the morning drive, and then there's also a newsman, and then there's some kid doing traffic or whatever with like an intern, and then you got a program director that actually has time to listen to the station and like a full staff. No, it's probably one guy, and that's
it. His name is Dan.
Part-time, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's probably there's one guy, and he's not just part-time. He's probably full-time because he's doing literally everything. He's probably the general manager. He's probably the sales guy. He's probably the general manager. He's probably the afternoon drive talent, and he's probably trying to manage all the commercials that are on the air. And you know, he forgot to end date the ad when he put it into the system, and doesn't realize because he doesn't have time to listen to the station that he's running. That's literally the situation with so many radio stations these days. I think the best thing you can do, Neil, is just shoot him a quick note, shoot an email into the station, or give him a call, and just give them a heads up. Because they probably honestly have no idea, and I'm sure they'd really appreciate.
Nobody that works here actually listens to the station. You know, all they care about is their own show. But other than that, I don't know.
It's rough.
I just wanted to
point out
the lack of professionalism.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Neil. Yeah. I'm not gonna say they're not professionals. It's just they've got too much. They're overworked. You know, you overwork a professional, he's gonna drop the ball on something. And I thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. A federal judge appointed by former President Trump is halting FDA approval of the abortion pill mifepristone. On Friday, Judge Matthew Kaczmarek issued a stay that will stop the prescription and distribution of the pill. A lawsuit from an anti-abortion group was filed against the FDA's approval of mifepristone, arguing the nearly 5-year approval process for the drug was rushed. The Justice Department called Kaczmarek's decision unprecedented. President Biden will visit Northern Ireland and Ireland next week.
Biden will mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. The peace deal brokered by the U.S. helped end decades of sectarian violence between pro-Ireland Catholics and pro-Britain Protestants. The president will head to Belfast Tuesday to mark the tremendous progress since the signing of the agreement. I'm Dave Collins.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. Join the show. All you gotta do is dial in. And now's a great time for it. We are here, and we'll take your call to 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian
and Chris.
And you can join Chris on his show. He's got his own program that he does on Saturday evenings at 5 o'clock Eastern Time over at freedomdecrypted.com. You said there's some inspired topics coming up this weekend. What are you planning on covering this weekend?
Oh, on the spot.
Yeah.
What was the last 3 days? 3 days of Free Talk Live. We'll probably have some other stuff there, but a lot of crypto topics, that's for sure.
You've been following the crypto crackdown.
Yeah, the crypto crackdown. We'll definitely get into that. I'm trying to think of some of the other topics, but we'll definitely cover the crypto stuff. And usually, so it's a tech show, yeah. So we try to take it from that angle. And we'll probably cover, like, sometimes we'll cover, like, some, you know, Linux-y kind of free software kind of stuff. Try not to do too much of that because that tends not to be the most exciting thing in the world. But if you're more of a tech kind of person, it's definitely a good show to watch.
If you like tech and you like freedom, this is
a
show for you.
Yeah, the tagline of the show is tech for prickly people. Or a tech show for prickly people, something like that.
Anyway. Like the porcupines here.
Yeah, yeah.
So check them out at freedomdecrypted.com. There's back episodes, video, audio format, you choose. It's up to you, and they're free, so enjoy those at freedomdecrypted.com and tune into them live tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. We go back to your calls and thoughts. David is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. David.
Shout out to my nemesis, Chuckles the Clown in Longview, Washington.
All right, David.
And yeah, that unprofessional radio, that's Dan. It's all Dan's fault. He doesn't finish his paper out in time to get the real work done, so that's what happens. And fact check. The city of Albuquerque, any city, can be sued. They don't have, what you said, qualified immunity. Now, they may not be able to be sued over that subject matter, but they can be sued in general. And since the government body, before you sue them, you have to give them an intent to sue, which is can be simply a handwritten note mm-hmm. that says, I'm going to sue your ass.
And, yeah, but is it going to go anywhere?
Yeah.
Are you going to win?
I mean, you can sue anybody you
want. That's what I said. That's what I said. I already answered that. I said may not be able to sue them over that subject matter. Mm-hmm. In fact, I doubt you can. But they, you said they had qualified immunity. They do not. You can sue any government body except for the federal government without their permission.
Well, a lawsuit, generally what happens is you sue somebody and then the city would send,
motion to dismiss.
Send somebody and issue, yeah, they request a motion to dismiss based on the immunity, whether it's qualified immunity or something else.
Sovereign
I don't
immunity.
Know. There's like three types of immunity.
No, they don't have the city, the county, the state has no immunity. Now, the police officer may have been granted or the judge granted qualified immunity for doing their job. In other words, if a cop does something and damages somebody, if he was not out of line as per his job description, but somebody got injured, he has qualified immunity. But if he violated their civil rights when he injured them, then he does not, because it's not blanket immunity. It's qualified.
Yeah, so that sounds about right. So I sued the city of Manchester many years ago, and they settled out of court. But the reason I could do that was because it was a First Amendment violation that an officer committed against me. So
yeah, but it doesn't have to be a civil rights violation in order to sue them. You can trip and fall on city property and sue them for the damage if they were negligent.
I don't know the law sufficiently enough in that regard. I know there's definitely things you can sue, you know, a government over, and you could sue them over stuff like, for example, you can sometimes sue them over stuff you would think you normally can't sue them over because the government itself has granted itself or has removed immunity from itself. So I can't really think of any examples, to be honest, but...
Well, I've got a list here, and thank you, David, for the call tonight. From Feldman.law, so it looks like a law firm, Feldman & Feldman. Question, what is sovereign immunity? And they explained that in a previous blog, they discussed the history and controversy surrounding qualified immunity. While concerns surround qualified immunity, many have also raised questions over sovereign immunity as well. Knowing how sovereign immunity came to be, as well as how it relates to qualified immunity, can keep the public informed on their legal rights and what a government actor can or cannot do. The legal doctrine of sovereign immunity provides a ruling government body with the option to choose immunity from civil lawsuits or criminal prosecution. This means no person can sue the government without having the government's consent to do so. This holdover concept from British common law kept the king immune from any charges of wrongdoing. Sovereign immunity is used as a means of protecting the government from having to alter its policies any time a person takes issue with them. However, it is important to note that state governments are not immune from lawsuits brought against them by other states or by the federal government. So, federal sovereign immunity. When referring to sovereign immunity at the federal level, an individual cannot sue the federal government as an entity unless the federal government says it can. However, under the Federal Tort Claims Act, individuals can sue federal employees for violating the duties involved with their role, but only if negligence was a factor, which is what David said just a moment ago, that you can sue the city, but only if negligence is a factor.
And then you'd have to define negligence because they'll claim it's self-defense or, you know, something else.
If so, the individual must then determine whether they have permission to sue under the FTCA, the Federal Tort Claims Act. If not, their claim may be barred as a result of federal sovereign immunity. And then you have state sovereign immunity, which says a state cannot be sued in federal and or state court without its consent. While the 11th Amendment limits immunity to two specific situations in federal court, the Supreme Court held immunity derives not from the amendment, but from the structure of the original Constitution itself. In its own state court, a state can invoke immunity even when sued under an otherwise valid federal law, and the state has full authority to define the scope of its immunity from suits based on its own state law. So, surprise, surprise, the state sets the rules, it's the state's courts, and they get to be immune if they want to be. And then you have qualified immunity and absolute immunity. Sovereign immunity can be subdivided into two types, qualified and absolute. Qualified immunity shields a government official. This is the one we hear about more often these days when it comes to government police abusing people. It's usually they're protected by qualified immunity. And it says here that it shields government officials from liability if their activities are within the scope of their office in objective good faith, which is where, in the case of police abusing people, if the police have never been found responsible of violating people's rights in that particular way before,
yeah, so
then
they're
you
allowed,
can't hold them responsible.
Yeah, so they're allowed to steal from you because there's never been a prior case that gave notice to the police that stealing in their official capacity
is not acceptable.
Is, yeah, not. It's absolutely insane, but these are actual like court rulings.
That's right. And they also can't violate a clearly established statutory or constitutional right of which a reasonable person would be aware. Qualified immunity is judicially created doctrine that shields government officials from personal liability for violating the constitutional right, for example, to be free from excessive police force, so long as the officials didn't violate clearly established law. On the other hand, absolute immunity confers sovereign immunity on government officials, making them completely immune from criminal prosecution and civil suits for damages, so long as officials are acting within the scope of their duties. Essentially, this immunity is a complete bar to a lawsuit with no exceptions, and absolute immunity generally applies to judges, prosecutors, jurors, legislators, and the highest executive officials of all government. So there you have it. You can basically not do jack diddly regard to suing the government. It's very, very hard to actually get a lawsuit to stick against these people at all levels because they protect themselves and they run the court system. So there you go.
Yep.
Anyway, we were talking about the employment situation here in the United States. Not only is it hard to find workers, but it's hard to find workers, if you can find a worker, that will actually show up on time, that won't bitch constantly about the tasks that they're supposed to be doing, that won't sit on their phone and scroll on social media all day.
Yeah.
And apparently what you have to do these days, according to some of the people the Wall Street Journal interviewed, is actually hire elderly people. They know how to work. They got a good work ethic, and a lot of them, they're not making enough in retirement to pay their bills, so they need to go back to work. And that's where we're at here in this story from the Wall Street Journal. Again, interviewing people that do hiring. Global staffing agency Manpower Group Incorporated launched a placement program for what it calls mature workers in 2021 after hearing clients' concerns about labor shortages and high turnover, said Lori McDowell. Ms. McDowell, who is 69 years old herself, came out of retirement to rejoin her former firm and lead this initiative. Older workers can be good fits for businesses focused on retention, she says. Young professionals don't necessarily job hop more frequently than their predecessors did at the same career stage, but people tend to value stability as they age, she observes. She says, we're not generally looking for the next move, she says of people in her age range. Frequently you can get us for a very reasonable cost. Some unretirees, which is apparently the name for this, some of these folks, say they draw inspiration from athletes, such as quarterback Tom Brady and Olympic beach volleyball champion Kerry Walsh Jennings, who've made comebacks and excelled long past their purported primes. Ms. Walsh Jennings, who's 44, aims to qualify for a sixth Olympics next year after sitting out the 2020 cycle. She tells me it's natural to question whether you've still got it, but adds it's important to let performance speak for itself. She says, I see these amazing athletes who are significantly younger and very hungry, and I wonder, can I do this? Am I crazy to even think about it? But last month I was in Miami competing, and it took me 2 minutes to be like, no, I got it. I belong here, she says. I'm not sure how that really relates to people in their 60s and 70s going back to work, but regardless, while ageism remains a barrier for some graying workers, age discrimination complaints to the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission dropped 45% from 2011 to 2021. That's partly because claims are hard to prove and lawyers are often reluctant to take borderline cases. There's no official measure of discrimination claims on the basis of being too young because federal law only protects workers over 40. But human resource departments frequently held grievances or field grievances from millennials and Gen Zers who say they're unfairly passed over because of their generation's reputations for flakiness. Which I believe.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It's not fair because, you know, not everybody who's a Gen Z or a millennial worker is a loser, right? They're not all being raised by these parents that are babying them. And they, you know, as you were pointing out earlier, like homeschool people are going to be much more responsible. And so those people need to be given a chance and not just being passed over because of their age.
Yeah. You know, it's actually interesting. I have an employee that's the exact opposite of, I think, you know, what you would expect of, you know, somebody in his age.
How old is he?
He's in his 30s.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe.
So he's a millennial.
40. Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely a millennial. And and it's interesting because I think it just goes to show that it's not all millennials, right?
Sure.
It's not all young people. It's just a good percentage of them.
He adds, young people's approach to work isn't necessarily worse. Plenty are hard charging, and those who dial down the intensity can improve their health and happiness. While balance may strike some as lazy, others see refreshing groundedness or well-founded skepticism of the idea that hard work pays off. Still, old-fashioned grinders appeal to employers. Quote, with the economy slowing down, companies need fewer people and need the people who are there to be okay with working hard. Instead of trying to convince younger generations to be something different, some companies are saying, why don't we just go hire people who are naturally predisposed to work harder? And it's going to work for a time. And then those folks are going to pass away.
You know, this is interesting. I think this is a situation where it depends on what you're hiring for, mm-hmm. right? Because ultimately, somebody who is in that age range is probably at least a good percentage of them are not going to be able to hold down a job where you gotta do more
physical labor.
No, not physical. I'm thinking mental.
Oh,
mental.
You're saying older people can't hold that down?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying there are some very smart older people who mm-hmm. probably could. But as you age, you tend to be on the decline, right?
Sure.
Anything,
especially if you're retired.
Right. Anybody over 28, actually, you tend to mm-hmm. decline. So, and you know, by the time you hit your 70s, you know, most of these people are not capable of doing the work they once were. Mm-hmm. So they're fine for actually light physical work, like working at a grocery store, okay. But you're probably not going to be able to get them to do some tech support, even if they were once doing tech support.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge for people who are out there running these businesses because, you know, you can go, yeah, you can hire the 70-year-old man right now, but what happens in another 10 years? You know, and these young people that don't have good work ethics are just going to get older,
yeah.
And then they're going to be raising kids. Like, it's kind of scary what might be happening out here. And then you also have the demographics issue that we saw, you know, we're seeing with Japan, for instance, where young people aren't even having sex. Like, they're not having children. So there's not enough youth to actually replace the elderly down the line. And you've got all these old people that are going to be collecting Social Security and collecting all these, you know, benefits or whatever. But there aren't enough young people to pay into it anymore. And the United States, by the way, is on a chart with Japan being worse as far as this discrepancy, but the United States has it too. There aren't enough babies being born to replace the older generation.
Yeah, you know what's holding us back, I think, even more than not having babies is the restriction on immigration.
Yes,
you know, it's not necessarily a problem for your, you know, population to age to the degree that there is, you know, at least your how do I say this? You know, your not native necessarily, but your
people who are born in the country, as long as there's immigration coming in to take the jobs and replace those who are getting older.
That can solve that problem. What Japan has apparently been considering doing, is opening up the immigration restrictions.
They don't have much of a choice, and that's a country that's very anti-immigrant.
Correct. So let's go to the phones here. Jimmy is on the line in Florida. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
Oh, hi, guys. I know you're talking about currency and everything, but when they had all those empty shells a year ago, I mean, that sent a chill up to me, and it didn't matter how much silver and gold or whatever I had. There's nothing to buy. I mean, you've got to solve that problem is more important. And what if you don't have peace in your country, like you lose Ukraine? Would it matter if you had a million cryptocurrency in whatever units you have? It doesn't matter. There's other factors that are way more important than what you're talking about. Go ahead.
You're saying that, obviously, yes, having products on the shelf is very, very important. There's no doubt about that. That's where, you know, government needs to allow people to do business without standing in the way, without putting in all kinds of ridiculous restrictions and mandates and taxes and arbitrary rules that get in the way of people doing business. So I do agree with you. That is definitely a concern, Jimmy.
Okay, so what do you do for a living there in New Hampshire? What do you guys do when you're not here? Do you have any productive services or labor? Could I ask that?
Do you listen to the show?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we explained to you earlier tonight that Chris runs his own computer business at thinkpenguin.com, and he's very successful at that. So there's one example for you.
I have a day job.
Okay. I can't eat computers. Go on. Keep going.
Well, plenty of people use computers every single day, Jimmy, in their lives and in their businesses. They're integral, in fact, to our daily life today. So for you to say that they're not valuable to you is absolutely meaningless, considering that computers are an incredibly large market segment, let alone the software that runs on them and the economy that runs on them. I mean, to say something like that is literally laughably ridiculous.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, it's just laughably ridiculous.
How do you even take that seriously?
I don't know. Are you a Luddite or something, Jimmy? If so, why are you using a telephone?
Well, I know I got to eat every day. I got to live somewhere.
Well, why don't you just do some garbage diving as our previous caller?
You know, there's always going to be a job out there that, I don't want to say it was more valuable necessarily, but is more critical, right, to the functioning of society. And certainly I wouldn't say, I mean, computers have become critical, but it's not necessarily, you know, if I had to spend my last dollar, am I going to spend it on electronics or am I going to spend it on something to eat? I'm probably spending it on something to eat, but
of course. But the reality is the problem Jimmy identified earlier, which was, issues with supply lines and such. In a lot of cases, it's computers that make that stuff possible. It's computers
efficiencies,
that make just-in-time ordering and things like that.
If you take out the technology, you actually end up with supply lines that fail because you can't order the supplies, you can't hire more workers, you can't. There's all kinds
of inefficiencies,
costs. Inefficiencies that you would end up if you tried to revert. You would need to hire way more people. Which you can't do because there's no more computer.
Work.
There's no more technology to do the hiring.
So when you're part of the new state of New Hampshire that doesn't have any supply lines from the United States, and then all your supplies have to come from in there, what are you going to eat? Could I ask that?
Most of the supply lines actually stem from like China, not the United States. I mean, outside of maybe like food production.
Well, Jimmy believes that in the event that when New Hampshire secedes peacefully from the United States, that the United States will try to cut off all supplies to its former people, which is ridiculous and paranoid, Jimmy,
but Israel, I think if you look at Israel, you can take Israel, I think, as an example, because I suspect that probably the state's probably, I don't know, but I suspect the state's probably not that different from the size of Israel, if I had to guess. Would be curious to know for sure, but Israel has tried to cut off Palestine, and they haven't been, successful. I mean, it's, ultimately, you can try to starve a country to death, or people, you know, in a country to death. But, you know, it's not. There are other ways to create supply lines that may not be legal, but that doesn't mean they don't exist, right? So,
thanks for the call tonight, Jimmy. Appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. Obviously, you know, there's negative Nancys out there, like Jimmy, that cannot possibly envision secession being something that could possibly work out to the best of those people who perform it. But the reality is, a lot of secessions happen with peaceful, completely fine results. Great Britain is a good example in the most recent times about that, where, I mean, they have their political issues or whatever. There's, I'm sure, challenges, but they're not starving in Great Britain. The European Union hasn't cut off trade with Great Britain. And the same thing is going to be the case with New Hampshire. When New Hampshire and Texas and California and other states decide to say goodbye, it's just going to be peaceful negotiation of whatever needs to be negotiated to make sure that trade can continue to cross New Hampshire borders.
You know, I like we have these T-shirts. Actually, I think I have one on right now. And
it's not you, it's me with the United States graphic. And yeah, separate from that, the New Hampshire.
It's basically referencing an abusive relationship, right? Mm-hmm. You don't tell somebody who's being abused to stick with it. You tell them to leave. You know, and it's one of these sorts of situations that why would you, you know, even if things don't work out perfectly, you still aren't going to want to stay. You shouldn't want to stay.
You're still better off independent.
Right. You wouldn't want to
advocate.
You got
to find your own food. You got to find your own house. You got to find your own whatever it is you're missing, but you'll do it.
Right.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And the idea that the people of New Hampshire are going to be the one nation on earth that's starving to death, I mean, please.
Seems very unlikely. I mean, very unlikely.
It's ridiculous. I mean, North Korea is probably the closest place on the planet that is starving to death, and they are a closed society. They do not trade with a lot of places on the planet. I mean, sometimes it's sanctions that require people to not trade with them, but New Hampshire will have its borders open to anyone in the world who's willing to trade with a free nation, and that will result in all kinds of economic benefits. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is a need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.